169 through to verse 176. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Well, tonight we come to verse 175. The Lord willing, we'll conclude the psalm next week. But tonight we come to verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Dear congregation, whilst we have breath, is it not our desire to praise the Lord? The psalmist said in Psalm 146, verse 2, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That was his resolve, and he was determined to praise the Lord whilst he had breath, when he was in the green pastures, but also when he was in the valleys. And yes, at times in the green pastures we may find ourselves more able to praise the Lord, but in the valleys the Lord is with us. The Lord is our God. He is a refuge, and we still have cause to praise him. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Then the Westminster Shorter Catechism, we read, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In what we do, in what we think, and in what we say, is it not our concern to glorify the Lord? Sadly, at times we're not found glorifying the Lord, and we go astray, and so we need to pray with the psalmist for restoring. And we can identify with those words in verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. We stray. But our desire is, when we're focused on the Lord, is to give him the glory and to praise him. To live another day for his glory. To live another day to utter praise. One of old wrote, I'll praise my Maker while I breathe. Where the psalmist said, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Well, let's come directly to these words now. First of all, life. Secondly, praise. Thirdly, help. First of all, life. The psalmist desires life. Let my soul live. In a moment, we'll particularly consider why, so that he can praise the Lord. Whilst he has breath, he desires to serve the Lord, and in serving the Lord, to praise him. Let my soul live. Now, when we come to consider these words here, my soul, he's thinking of his life as a whole. We live and move, and we have our being. We live each day. And will do till the appointed time. So hear the psalmist, and we're led to consider our lives. Let my soul live. He's thinking that he wants to live another day to praise the Lord. Let my soul live. Well, let's just open this up a little tonight. First of all, he recognises that the Lord is the sustainer of his life. That life that was given to him. He gave us life, and he will sustain it till the appointed time here upon earth. In Job 1 verse 21 we read, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All appointed, all is in God's hand. In Acts 17, verse 28, we read, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He is the sustainer of our lives, and we rest in this. Our times are in his hand. Particularly focus on our soul, how he keeps our soul. Let my soul live. He's thinking of his whole life. But also then he particularly considers his soul, and he desires to be preserved because of Christ for another day, that he might worship the Lord. So first of all, he recognises the Lord is the sustainer of his life. Secondly, as we note these words, let my soul live, he recognises that his life could be taken at any moment. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. He knows that today could be the last day. We do not know what will be on the morrow. In Proverbs 27 verse 1 we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our lives go so quickly, and we do not know what a day will bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. How we need to take each day at a time. How we need to commit ourselves to the Lord each day. Let my soul live. If thou art pleased, Lord, let me live tomorrow, that I might worship thee. Thirdly, David recognises the danger that was surrounding him as he utters these words, let my soul live. His enemies were not far away. He'd been often pursued or persecuted. Notice verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He knew the danger, and there was danger in this world. We sit here in relative calm, but some of our brothers and sisters in Christ tonight are terrified, they're fearful. Why? Because of the enemy, those that pursue them. Consider how many of our brothers and sisters in Eritrea tonight wonder, will they have life tomorrow? Consider our brethren in North Korea. How many of them will become martyrs this week? There is danger in this world, and the psalmist knew it. And so he prays to the Lord, let my soul live. Well, he considers the situation. He knows that his times are in God's hands. And he prays for life. Let my soul live. And that's good to pray for, isn't it? That the Lord will give us life for tomorrow. That we would serve him. Let my soul live. Now we know our times are in God's hands. We know that our days are determined, Job 14. We know this, but it's not wrong to pray, let my soul live. Let it live, Lord. I want to live longer here below to serve thee. Let my soul live. So here's the plea then. Let my soul live. Well, let's come to consider secondly now, praise. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. It shall praise thee. What is man's chief end? To glorify God. Why do we above anything else desire life for tomorrow? It's to give God the glory, isn't it? That's why he has given us life. That we would praise him, that we would glorify him. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. A life lived for God and for his glory. And so we ought to pray often, let my soul live. Lord, give me tomorrow. Give me next week. Give me many years that I might live for thy glory till the appointed time, whenever that time is. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Listen to John Gill. The psalmist desires the continuance of his natural life, not for his own personal advantage, nor for the sake of his family, nor with any worldly, sinister, and selfish views, but for the glory of God and for the sake of praising him. We want to live another day for Jesus. For God's glory. That's our prayer, isn't it? We don't want to live here for ourselves or this world or for sin. We want to live for the Lord. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Now we read in Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All should be found praising the Lord. Desiring to have another day for his glory, yet so many I'm not concerned about that, but we are, aren't we? We desire the Lord will give it to us another day to worship him here below. He's so worthy of praise. In Revelation 5, verse 12, we read, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy, worthy the Lamb he is, isn't he? What a Lamb he is, what a Saviour we have. Oh, what he has done for our souls, that our souls will never be destroyed. Our souls will be kept in life. Oh, what a hope we have. Oh, what a wonderful eternity we have in front of us. Oh, how blessed we will be. One day God will wipe away all tears from our eyes at death, and then from the eyes of all God's people on that great day. Oh, he's so worthy to be praised as we think of these things. He's to be given the power, the riches, that is, we're to ascribe unto him the power and the riches and the wisdom, the strength and the honour, the glory and the blessing. We're to put it to him. He has the power. He has the power to give us life for tomorrow. He has the riches of his grace, so abundant to support us and sustain us through every situation. The riches of his love to embrace us, to hold us. The riches of his mercy to come near and support us. We're to give him, we're to ascribe to him the riches. We have everything we need in him. We ascribe unto him the wisdom. He's the counselor, isn't he? Oh, we ascribe unto him the wisdom. He's so wise, isn't he? We can rest in him and his providence. And we know that his providence is most wise. We ascribe unto him the strength, how he is able to strengthen us. We ascribe unto him the honour. We give him the glory, the honour, and we give him the blessing. Oh, we desire life to give the glory unto the Lord Jesus. We desire to praise him every day, do we not? Psalm 145, verse 2, "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Every day, on the dark days as well as the light days. Every day. When I feel so lifted up, I will praise him. That's my desire. But when I'm cast down and struggling, I want to praise him as well. Another day then, to give glory unto the Lord. In Psalm 96, verse 7, we read, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength." Give it to him. Everybody should. Let's lead by example. We'll give him the glory. And we'll give him the strength. Oh, how he's sustaining all his people at this moment. Those of us here upon earth, he's giving us life. And those in glory, he's so sustaining them there. Oh, we're to give him the glory. The word glory there in Psalm 96, at the root of the word, has the meaning of weight, honour. He's so honourable. There's such a weight to him. We deeply respect him. We adore him. He's worthy to be praised. There's none like him, is there? Remember what we read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." There's no one like the Lord our God. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. We can make our prayer, "Let my soul live," knowing he is able to answer that prayer and give us another day for his glory. Oh, there's no one like him. So kind, so understanding. Oh, he's worthy to be praised. Do not we desire to give him the glory, to ascribe it to him? In Psalm 68, verse 34, we read, "Ascribe ye strength unto God." This ascribing, putting it to him, putting the glory to him, not unto us, but unto him, giving him the honour, the respect, whilst we live, whilst we pray, whilst we sing, all seeking to do all for his glory. Now, Lord, he gives direction in that prayer, that pattern prayer. And remember how the prayer concludes in Matthew 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then we're told in our prayer to give him the glory. He has the kingdom. His kingdom is extending. He has the power. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He's to have the glory, and he's to have it forever, every day of my life, and then forever. Oh, we're to give him the glory. We're to praise him. We'll just open this up a little. Praise the Lord for the wonderful covenant of grace made between God, the Father, and the Son, and in him with all the elect. What grace! Well, grace was displayed in that covenant that was made. Grace towards Christ, and grace towards the elect, grace towards us. Such favour. We think of God's grace, which is seen as common, but as we think of the covenant of grace, we consider his grace, which is seen as special. And oh, what grace. Oh, what love towards us. Oh, what grace towards us. Consider his grace in saving us, his grace in sustaining us. Another day we've been given for his glory. Think of his strengthening grace, how he in such favour comes alongside and he lifts us. We may be cast down, but he lifts us. His strengthening grace, his preserving grace, he's keeping us, isn't he? Why? Because of his grace. And then think of his kindness. He's worthy to be praised for his kindness. He's so very kind, isn't he? We think of acts of kindness. All the kindness the Lord shows to us. How he speaks to us through the word. To help us and support us. To comfort us. How he directs us. So very kind. How he rebukes us. Oh, he's so very kind. How he comes in for us. How he provides for us. He's so very kind. In Psalm 117 verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. It's great, his merciful kindness. We need it, and we find this great kindness before us and surrounding us. And we're comforted by it. In Salisbury a few weeks ago, an elderly lady had fallen over. And a few people have gathered round. One had taken off their coat and used it as a pillow and put it under her head. Another man had taken off his coat and had put it over her to keep her warm. And then there was a lady on her knees talking to her. These acts of kindness. Oh, consider the acts of kindness. What kindness the Lord shows to us. How he supports us and assures us of his love with his tender love. In the Song of Solomon 2 verse 6 we read, his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. He's near. We think there of a husband who comes near to support his wife. And he doesn't just speak, the loving husband. He puts his arms around her and supports her and embraces her. It's not just a word, it's the act of the loving husband. We see it. Oh, consider the beloved one. His left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Oh, what kindness. Our beloved comes near and he puts his hand under our head. And he, with his other hand, embraces us. I'm there to support you, and I love you. Listen to the Reverend John Brown of Haddington. I enjoy the safe, the delightful, the near, tender embraces, while I have the secrets of his love imparted to my soul. He comes near, so very kind, The believer may be struggling, confused, perplexed. Christ makes his way. He's near, and he embraces, and he supports. When he comes near to comfort, he comforts us with his kindness. Let's pray for it. Turn back to verse 76. Verse 76, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. We pray, let his merciful kindness be for my comfort. Lord, come near to me. Put thy hand under my head and take thine other hand and put it around me. Assure me of thy love that all will be well. Support me. Come near. We pray for it. We await to know it, but take comfort. Sometimes before we're aware of it, he's already come so near to support. We pray that his merciful kindness would be known for your comfort. He's so kind, isn't he? He's worthy to be praised. We want to live another day to thank him and to praise him for the way in which he comes near and supports our head and assures us of his love. He keeps coming every day, the faithful, loving husband every day thinks of his wife. And if he has the opportunity, we'll give her a hug every day. Oh, our beloved one comes every day and he embraces us and he supports us. Another day to live for his glory, to thank him for his kindness, that he draws near and supports us and shows us his love. And we praise him forever for his love. Remember how the Apostle Paul was taken up with the love of God, the love of Christ, and gave praise. In Ephesians 3 verse 19, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There he is. He begins to consider the dimensions of the love of God and the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know that which passeth knowledge. He wants to know. To know more, to have this experimental knowledge of it in his soul, more of that which he will never get to the end of. He's taken up with the love of Christ. The wife desires to know more of the love of her husband, his words of comfort, his embraces. Oh, we desire to know more of the love of Christ, our beloved. Oh, we praise him for his love. There's no end to his love. The apostle goes on after speaking of the love of Christ, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You see there, he's thought of the dimensions of the love of Christ, the love that passeth knowledge, and he's led to consider the greatness of the Lord, how he is able to do that beyond what we think or ask, and he gives the glory. Begins by considering the love of God, and he ends up giving God the glory. Oh, for another day to know, to sense, and to praise God for his love. But then consider his mercy. Here's another cause for praise. Psalm 86 verse 13, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Oh, what he has done for us in the gospel. We've been delivered from the lowest hell. His mercy is so great, and it's towards me. Oh, we need his mercy. Just think of the mercy of God. It's so great. It's infinite. It's everlasting, as we see in Psalm 103, and it's towards me. Are we not thankful for that? We need it. Oh, such mercy is towards you. It will come like a river and surround you. Such pity and compassion, like as a father pity of his children. You think of a faithful, loving father has such pity to the children. And the children know that their father is compassionate. by the acts of kindness. The children know it. Oh, we know that he is so compassionate. Oh, such pity. And his compassion is towards us. And he embraces us. For great is thy mercy toward me. Give me another day to taste of thy mercy here below and to praise thee for it. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. I will praise thee tomorrow for thy mercy that's still coming and still surrounding me and still supporting me. Let's consider his providence. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. I will praise thee today, and if thou dost spare my life tomorrow, for thy most holy and wise providence. Remember Abraham's servant? He was given the task of going to find a wife for Isaac. And Abraham's servant comes to a certain place, and there comes Rebekah. And what do we read in Genesis 24, verse 27? Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I being in the way. Today we have been in the way of God's providence. All of us. We will praise him for that. And tomorrow, still in the way of God's providence, and we will thank him for it. There are the dark and the mysterious providences we face in light. There are the bright providences we face in life. Be thankful that we are in the way of the Lord. I being in the way, Abraham's servant had made that journey. He'd woken up on a new day, and there he was, Rebekah comes. And he gives thanks to God. He praises God for his providence. Well, we could go on, much course. We want another day, don't we, if the Lord will spare, to praise him. David Dixon wrote, when we have said all we are able to say for God's praise, we are but to begin anew. And we may have spent many years praising God. If the Lord will give it to us another day to praise him again for the things he has so blessed us with, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Lord, another day I ask for. That's what the psalmist is saying. Let my soul live. I want to live in this world that I might praise thee. With thirdly and finally, help. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. We see the desire of the psalmist. He wants to live, to praise the Lord, but he needs help. And this is so helpful, isn't it? We want to live another day, to praise the Lord, but we need help, because we know ourselves. We know the struggles we face. Oh, help me, Lord. Let thy judgments help me. Now, we have here the word judgments. We're near the end of this psalm. When we commenced this psalm a while ago, we thought of certain words, 10 words in this psalm, which point us to the word of God. Well, here's one of them. Judgments. We can think of divine law. An ordinance. That which is right. Well, we're led to consider the word of God. It's one of the 10 titles given to the word of God in this psalm. Let thy judgment, let thy word help me. Take the word, apply it to my heart, that I might focus and be found praising thee. I need help. I know left to myself, I won't give glory to God tomorrow. Remember those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, without me ye can do nothing. We won't be able to pray tomorrow if the Lord gives us another day. We won't be able to meditate on the word. We need the Lord. We need the Lord's help. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and thy judgments help me. Help me to praise thy name by taking the word and speaking to me. Remind me of thyself. Help me in this work, Lord. Help me through the word. How the Lord is able to help us through the word. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me. This is my comfort in affliction. We so need the Lord, don't we? And the Lord comes and he uses the word and we find this quickening. How the Lord is able to deal with our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes and he excites the grace of faith so we focus on what we're reading. And he excites the grace of love so our hearts are drawn to the Lord. And he takes the word and applies it within. And our lips are engaged in offering praise. No wonder the psalmist said, let thy judgments help me. Here's my petition. I want to live for another day, for thy glory, that I might praise thee, but I need help. The psalmist is so honest, isn't he? Sometimes we lack honesty in our prayers. We lack honesty in our lives. We think, well, we're a good prayer. We're a good reader. Oh, we should think of the Lord. Lord, I need help in my quiet times. I need help when I come to the midweek meeting. I need help when I come to the public worship on my day. Lord, I need help. Help me. Let thy judgments help me. And the Lord has so often answered this prayer. He's brought the word and we are helped. And we're helped to praise him. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and thy judgments help me. Here's the desire then, but he knows he needs help. So he asks the Lord for help. Give me another day that please thee, Lord, and give me help to focus on thee, thy love, thy grace, thy mercy, thy providence, thy strength. Help me to focus on thee, so bring the word home to me. Speak to me, that I might be reminded of thyself, and that I might be helped to praise thee. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we come to thee. We know that our times are in thy hand. O Lord, we would make this prayer, let my soul live. If it please thee, O Lord, that thou would give us life for tomorrow, that we might glorify thee, we pray. O Lord, thou knowest the desire of our hearts. We desire to praise thee each and every day. But Lord, we confess we're not doing what we want to do at times. Sometimes we go through the motion. And we don't give glory to thee. Oh, help us, we pray, to worship thee. Oh, help us, bring the word home to us. Excite the graces within, Holy Spirit, that we will be focused and our love will be drawn to thee, O Lord, and take the word and apply it within. Strengthen us within, quicken us within, that we may be found glorifying thee. Help us, O Lord. Oh, we thank thee that thou art God. We thank thee for thy most holy and wise providence. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our second praise, Psalm 146. Psalm 146, and we'll sing verses 1 through to verse 6 to the tune Orlington. Psalm 146, and we'll sing from verse 1 through to verse 6. Praise God, the Lord, praise, O my soul. I'll praise God while I live, while I have being to my God. In songs our praises give. Psalm 146, verses 1 to 6, to the tune Orlington.
Praise God, the Lord.
Praise God, my soul. Praise God, while I live. While I have been
and all.